And today's sermon is going to be in the form of a Bible study. Now, brethren, aren't we thankful that the God we serve is a kind and loving and a very generous God that cares about us and takes care of us? And thankfully, that caring God is building a family that will be made up of people that have learned to care, share, and love and serve others. Now, if you think about it, you know, we wouldn't look forward to living forever inside of a selfish and self-serving family. You know, they would be miserable and make everyone around them miserable. So we wouldn't look forward to that for all eternity. Now, God is the great giver, the great giver. And God proved that by giving Christ for us. And that God that gave Christ for us is building a family of givers. Now, Mr. Armstrong used to repeat over and over that there are two kinds of people, givers and takers. Now, the older I get, the more I realize that that is very true, givers and takers. Now, hopefully, today we will see the importance of living a giving lifestyle every day, a giving lifestyle every day. Let's get started by turning to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. Up here in my Bible, it has as a heading an exhortation to bountiful giving. And here, Paul is going to take up a collection from the Corinthian church for a poor area of his region. And we start in verse 5, and Paul said, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you." So he sent some on ahead, and you can make up beforehand your bounty, wherefore you have noticed beforehand that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness, which you see there again, that giving and taking attitude. Now, Paul gave a great spiritual principle here in verse 6. Paul said, "But this I say, brethren, he which soweth sparingly shall reap the same." Sparingly. "But he which soweth bountifully shall reap the same." Bountifully. "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give." And then Paul said, don't do it grudgingly or of necessity. God said there in that last sentence there, "For God loves a cheerful giver." Now, that's a beautiful thought. God loves a cheerful giver, a person who practices giving as a way of life, as a state of mind, way of thinking, not someone that begrudges giving. So how would others describe your character? Are you a giver? Would others say that about you? I think most of God's people are. I think most of God's people fall into the giving group. But it's good for all of us to look at and consider this important character trait that God is trying to build within all of us. Now, look at verse 12. I'm going to read this to you from a different translation. Verse 12, Paul said here, "For the rendering of a public service such as this, giving, not only relieves the needs of your fellow Christians, but also results in the offering to God of many a thanksgiving on your behalf." And verse 13, "Under the test," and you might notice that word, "under the test from God." Under the test of this service, you will glorify God by your obedience in acknowledging the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your contributions for them and for all others. Now, in verse 14, it brings up a good thought. "Moreover, in their prayers for you, they express the earnest longings of their love towards you." Another translation says, and they will intercede on your behalf as they join in prayer on your behalf. Now, brethren, a good way to give to others is through prayer. When you hear the prayer request that's made quite often, you know, do you pray for them? Wouldn't you want others praying for your family, your people? And it's not just those formal requests. We like to make them, and even if you just, in your prayer time, ask God to bless the names that were mentioned here. if you didn't get their name or needs. But it's not just those formal requests. You know, it's good to pray for others' needs and well-being and faithfulness, even their hopes and dreams. Notice verse 8. Here, Paul said in verse 8, and this is a blessing that comes back to us, and God is able to make all, I like that word, all grace abound toward us, that we, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now in verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed. See, it's going to come back to you when you give to others. Now let's think about the fact, brethren, that God in his word, as we're going to see, tells us, that we can't outgive him. He has the resources of the universe behind him. And he will repay our generosity. Let's notice that in Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And verse 17. God says, he that has pity upon the poor lends to the Creator. That's what that Matthew 25 principle tells us. You know, give to the least of the brethren, you give to God. And that which you give, that which you have given to others, God himself will repay you. And chapter 22 and verse 9. Chapter 22 and verse 9 says, he that has a bountiful eye, notice that promise, shall be blessed. For he gives of his bread to the poor. And back chapter 21 and verse 13, God says, and on the other hand, whoever stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, and God won't hear it. Down there in verse 26, you see the contrast here of the righteous versus the unrighteous. He coveteth greedily, that taking attitude all day long. But on the other hand, the righteous gives and spares not. See that contrast? God's word tells us that the whole world is given over to covetousness. From the greatest to the least, they break that Ten Commandments. That means the whole world's way is taking, living for self. You know, what's in it for me? And self is selfish. And it wants to take and get for self. That's the way of living. That's the way of thinking. That's the way of acting and doing business. It influences every thought and action. And that action and that attitude, brethren, ties right in with that eighth commandment also. You know, don't steal. Don't take. Don't be a taker. But the positive side is do give. Do give. Now I'm going to read you a poem here, and I don't know where I got it. Somebody perhaps may have already read it in service, but bear with me. I think it fits right here. The cold within, six people trapped by happenstance, in dark and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story is told. Their dying fire, in need of logs, the first one held hers back, For on the faces round the fire, she noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth that he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from sight, for all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of this forlorn group did naught except for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. The logs held tight in death's steel hands was proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold within. Without, they died from the cold within. That kind of sums up the way of the world, doesn't it? Brethren, are you learning to give? Learning to give back the love that God gives to you, God gives to us? Are you growing in that grace? Notice chapter 14 of Proverbs. Notice chapter 14 now in verse 21. God said that he that despises his neighbor sins, but on the other hand, he that has mercy on the poor, happy is that person because it's going to come back to it. In verse 31, he that oppresses the poor, look, notice, reproaches his maker. But he that honors the poor has honoreth God. He that honoreth his maker has mercy on the poor. Is that Matthew 25 coming back through there? Notice chapter 28 now, Proverbs. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Then go down to verse 27. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack. But he that, on the other hand, hides his eyes shall have many a curse. And that's where that test comes in. God allows us to be tested to see if you know we're willing to love and share and give and serve others. There in chapter 29 and verse 7 says the righteous. Notice this contrast. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked, on the other hand, regards not to know it. Now, brethren, God doesn't waste words. And he had a lot of words to say about this giving attitude. Let's notice some of them. Turn to Jeremiah now. Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13. Woe unto him that builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him not for his work, that says, I will build me a wide house with large chambers and cutteth him out windows, sealed it with cedar and painted it. Verse 15, shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Now notice here, did not your father eat and drink? Wasn't he blessed? Did not your father eat and drink and do judgment and justice? And it was well with him. And notice the reason. Verse 16, he judged the cause of the poor and needy. And then it was well with him. He was blessed. Was not this, listen to this last sentence of part of this verse here. Was not this attitude to know God, says the Eternal, a giving, generous, serving, caring, loving attitude? Was not this to know me, says God? go to James now. James and chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 27, notice what God says pure religion is. Pure religion and undefiled before the Creator and the Father is this. Here's what it is. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And then to keep yourself from the ways of the world. See, that's what God says true religion is. Care of ties right in there what read Jeremiah. Notice James 2 now. In verse 6, James says, but you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which, he says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then down to 14, James gets into the nuts and bolts of Christianity, of pure religion right here. Here's an example. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and doesn't have any works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, you're talking about some people with some big problems here. Desperate need. And then one of us say to that person, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which they need. What does it profit? What does it profit? Where is your religion? James said, even so, faith, if it hath not any works, is dead, being alone. He's got dead faith, because he's got dead works. And then verse 18, yea, man may say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Remember, brethren, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And as children of that kingdom, God expects us to show loving concern for others. Let's notice that again in 1 John. 1 John 3. First John 3 and verse 16. John said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion for him, he asks the question, well, how does the love of God dwell in that person? Now go to Luke 14. Luke 14. You put all these scriptures together, you see that God is very concerned with this giving, serving, generous, loving attitude. Luke 14 and verse 13, Christ said, but when you make a feast, call the poor, maimed, lame, and the blind. And here's the reason. You shall be blessed. It comes back to us. For those people cannot pay you back. But you will be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. What a precious thought. What a blessing. At the resurrection of the just. That's when we'll receive that main reward. Now when God worked with Israel, when he first started working with the nation of Israel, he wanted them to set an example of giving. Let's notice that in Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15. And verse 7. God recorded here, if there be any among you a poor man of one of your brethren within any of your cities or gates in the land which God, the Lord your God, shall give you, You shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him, and surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wants. And then God says, here's a caution. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cries unto the Eternal against you, which we wouldn't want that to happen, and it be sin to you. You shall, here it is, sounds like a direct command to me, order. You shall surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you do it. And here's the reason. God said, because that for this thing you helped your poor brother, for this thing the Eternal your God shall bless you in all your works, in all that you put your hand to do. Direct positive promise. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, if I command you, saying, you shall open wide your hand to your poor brother and the needy in the land. It ties right back into that Matthew 25 that we keep going back to. You know, that's where God says, if you visit the hungry, the naked, the sick, and the ones in prison, then you've done it to him. Well, on the other hand, if you don't do it to them, then you didn't do it to God. God puts a lot of emphasis on building loving, caring, sharing relationships with others. And again, brother, are you growing in that area? Let's go to Leviticus 19 now. Leviticus 19. In verse 9, God said, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, and neither shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. You know, the southern cotton growers used to do that, especially after the mechanical picking. They'd send the hands in the field and glean what was left. And then verse 10, and you shall not glean your vineyard, neither shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You know, don't grab every grape you can get your grubby, greedy, grimy, grubby hands on. Leave some for the poor. I am the Lord your God. So there's an attitude that we need to be growing in that grace. Now, God is showing us through these scriptures that he gives special consideration and blessings to those that consider the needs of others. Notice that in Psalm 41. Psalm 41 and verse 1, a beautiful scripture here. God said, blessed is the person that considers the poor, because the Eternal will deliver him in time of trouble. God will preserve him and keep him alive. And here's a promise. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Eternal will strengthen him upon the bed of his languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. A special blessing, special favor for a giving attitude. David said there in verse 4, be merciful to me, O God. Certainly we need a lot of that. Now, brethren, the giveaway of life is not always some big action. It's going to cost us big bucks or little bucks. It can be in little actions, the little everyday actions of life. You know, allowing someone to cut in front of you at the checkout line. Allowing someone to turn in front of you in your car lane. Getting your spouse a cup of coffee in the morning. And then the really big sacrifice of giving up that last piece of fried chicken. Just little actions. It's a way of living. It's a way of thinking. And it's a way of acting. And it should be becoming more of a first nature. A first nature with all of us. And replacing our carnal and selfish nature. More and more, we should continually grow spiritually and follow the lead of God's Holy Spirit in this grace. And let's go to Galatians 5 now. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 22 here, Paul said, but the fruit of God's Spirit in us, here's what it is. Here's evidence of it. Love. Well, that's out giving, outpouring concern for others. And then when we do that, then we have joy and peace. And we have patience toward others and gentleness toward others. And now goodness is what we want to home in on. Goodness. The Strong's concordance for that word, their definition is beneficence. Beneficence. We don't use that very often. But it means generosity towards others or a giving nature. Now let's notice what God himself says he delights in. Turn to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. In verse 24, God recorded here, he says, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Eternal, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Now God said, for in these things I, the Lord Almighty, delight in those things right there. Loving kindness, showing love, giving to others. It pleases and delights God. That's a nice thought, isn't it? God takes delight in us, and we exhibit that attitude of giving. Now, I've got another story here for you. One time we were at a conference, ministerial conference, and one of the presenters there said one of the most embarrassing moments for a minister was trying to stay alert during an uninteresting and uninspiring sermon. And then suddenly you realize you're giving. So I try to add a little life and regain your attention here. I thought this story fit well with what we're speaking on today, and I've used it before. Some of you have heard it before. You'll probably remember it. But some of you won't, because I got this out of a Good News or a Plain Truth back in the 80s. So some of you weren't even born then. Now then. And then some of us have been alive a long time in 1980. Now, it says Rachel De Beers was a young girl who lived in South Africa during the 19th century. Her father was poor, and Rachel and her younger brother, Jamie, worked as shepherds tending the family's cattle. One day, Rachel and Jamie noticed that a calf was missing, and they began to look for it. In the course of searching, they wandered farther and farther away from their home pastures. It soon got dark, and they realized that they were lost. It was winter, and it began to snow. The snowstorm reached a height during the night and then blew itself out the next morning. Now, it didn't take long for a search party to find 12-year-old Rachel and her 6-year-old brother. During the night, Rachel had found and hollowed out a large anthill. She had removed her clothes and wrapped them around her brother and made him crawl inside the anthill. Then she laid her naked body over the entrance to keep him warm. And the next day, the search party found Jamie still alive in the anthill while Rachel was still lying over the entrance. She had died in the snow. Now, Rachel De Beers gave of herself without expecting anything in return. Now, that's a true loving motivation right there. Without expecting anything in return, she gave everything she had. And then it went on to say here that Rachel's inspiring example calls to mind the type of love that the New Testament Greek word, I believe it's agape, A-G-A-P-E, ascribes to God himself in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Agape love, God's own love, is characterized by unconditional, unselfish giving. It is a conscious commitment to give without trying to get something back. And that surely sums up the great Creator's character. True love. He's truly love motivated toward us. And it's good for us to remember that God sees past what we are today. Thankfully so. And he sees on down the road, on down in the future, what we can become tomorrow. And when we practice the give way of life, brethren, then we're taking on the very nature of God and growing toward the kingdom. And that's the reason God said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You ever think of that? When you practice that attitude and that lifestyle, then you are taking on the nature of God. You're becoming more like God. And as we've read, you get a lot of blessings back. Now then, brethren, especially you, parents, young parents, and grandparents, that sums up the biggest portion of us. You need to think about this next point. When we practice God's way of life, then we're giving blessings to our children. John tells us that others reap where we have sown. And Psalm shows us, some of them that Mark read, shows us that when we keep God's commandments and do those things that please God, then we are giving or passing blessings on to our children and grandchildren, or not. Let's notice that in Psalm 102. Something to think about. Psalm 102. We all love our children. We want the best for them. Psalm 102, in verse 28, God says here, the children of your servants, that's us, shall continue, and their seed shall be established before you, children and grandchildren. Go to the next chapter, 103 and verse 17, we've read this before, but it says, the mercy of the Eternal is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, passing those blessings on to our children, grandchildren. Psalm 112. Here, the psalmist in 112 in verse 1, praise ye the Eternal, and blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. Because that person's seed shall be mighty upon the earth, shall be blessed. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. I was talking to Carolyn before service. You know, a lot of our children are better off than we are. A lot of them had such a better head start than we did. Verse 9. He that disperses, he hath given, or he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And then finally in the Psalms, we'll go to chapter 128. It's a very beautiful scripture that we sing sometimes. Psalm 128, around here somewhere. All right, Psalm 128. And verse 1, God said, blessed is everyone that fears the Eternal, that walks in his ways. For that person shall eat the labor of his hands, and he shall be happy, and it shall be well with him. Look at those promises. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. And here's one we're homing in on. Your children like olive plants round about your table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Eternal. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all your days. And yes, you shall see your children's children, and peace upon them. So we pass those blessings, or we give those blessings to our children as we obey the Creator. Now, brethren, remember where we started in 2 Corinthians 9. We read that God loves a cheerful giver. That means that God loves for us to give from a pure, motivated heart for the right reasons. And when people do that, when they're truly motivated by a spirit of give rather than a spirit of get, then they do serve others regardless of whether they will be repaid or not. But now Paul addressed giving for the wrong reasons in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's take a quick look at that. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 3. Paul said, and though I bestow all my goods, give all his goods to feed the poor selfishly, and though I give my body to be burned, give up your life for someone else, and I don't do it out of a love-motivated, pure heart, it profits nothing. Profits me nothing. It may profit the ones you gave that to. Profits me nothing. That's not giving from a truly love-motivated reason, selfish reason. They're driven by a selfish motive to receive recognition now from men. That kind of giving is for a temporary reward, for the praise of men. It's not building toward an eternal reward of tomorrow. Brethren, as we draw the conclusion here, as Christ tells us himself in John 15:13, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life or to give one's life for his friends.